Story goes that the Scottish minister Alexander White was known for his uplifting and powerful prayers in the pulpit. They say he always found something for which to be grateful. But one Sunday morning, the weather was so gloomy that one church member thought to herself, "There is no way that the preacher is going to be able to think of anything for which to thank the Lord on such a wretched day like this." But to her surprise, White began by praying, "We thank thee, O God, that it is not always like this." I think that's very instructive to us when we think about Thanksgiving and how important it is for us to do what the Apostle Paul calls us to do, which is to give thanks in everything, always, giving praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy for us to give thanks in the good times, but when the times are hard, when things turn in a different direction, in a more adverse direction, it's still just as important that we give thanks, that we offer gratitude to God. A number of years ago, Fred Craddock wrote an influential book on preaching entitled As One Without Authority. He closed his book with a sermon entitled Doxology, in which he imagined doxology or gratitude as a person that accompanied him through life. As I crafted the message for today, I could not help but think about Craddock's approach and later Will Willimon's approach as he edited Craddock's sermon, and as a way of sort of taking gratitude, not as an idea or an attitude, but as a person. And so I want to borrow from them today, from their messages, the idea, and to talk about gratitude today as if he or she were a person. But before I do that, would you join with me to pray briefly? Grant, O Lord, that we will be mindful of the many blessings that you've bestowed upon us this year, and help us to be thankful for them. It's easy for us to identify the blessings and give thanks when all is going well, but when circumstances take a dark turn and life becomes difficult, it's hard. So help us, O Lord, we pray, to embrace what your word commands us to do, to be joyful always, to pray continually, and to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is your will for us in Christ Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I didn't really care much for him when we first met. He's not the kind of person that you warm up to right away. It takes time and life experience before he becomes a part of you. Don't ever think that he comes naturally. You have to work hard at getting to know him. When we first met, I was young, very young, maybe 2 or 3 years old. My mother was always trying in those early years to get us together. And so she would say thank you to Uncle Jim for the silver dollar that he gave you. And I would almost sing, "Thank you, Uncle Jim." Or we would go to the grocery store, to Mr. Hilbish's grocery store. And whenever we went, he would invite my sister and I to get a bag of hard candy, and we would gather it together, and then almost instinctively, Mama would say, "And what do you say?" And we would always dutifully reply, "Thank you, Mr. Hilbish." Gratitude. That's who I'm talking about today. Seems like he was always around, always pushing in, particularly at mealtime. No one was allowed to pick up a fork or to dig into the food before gratitude. Gratitude always came first. God is great. God is good. Let us thank him for our food. Amen. And when the meal didn't quite measure up to what we had hoped it would be, or my sister or I would complain a bit about the food, my mama would always bring him up. "Just be grateful for what you've got," she said. "Why, there are people who are starving to death over in China who would love to have just a spoonful of what you've got on your plate." And she was right. But if I'm honest, there were many times when I wanted to say, well, why don't you just drop some meatloaf in an envelope and send it over there to them? But that, I don't think she would have appreciated a smart alecky response like that. And besides, gratitude was the honored guest at our table. And before bedtime, after the toys had been put away and the blanket was pulled up snugly around me and the lights were turned out, there he was again. Gratitude. "Thank you, God, for Mom and Daddy and Nanny and Granddaddy and Grandma and Granddaddy and Manipli and Joyce and my dog Lady and a nice day and for everyone I'm in." Gratitude. You couldn't have a party without gratitude barging in, pushing forward after the cake and the ice cream, after the packages had been opened and the gifts had been received. "Thank you," I would say, even though I already had two of whatever it was that I had gotten. I learned at a very early age that you did not say "thank you, but." It was just "thank you," right? And so gratitude became a part of the family. Gradually, he became a part of my life. We would never have thought of serving a meal or having a party or a family reunion or bringing the vegetables in from the garden or even sitting out on the porch in the evening on a summer, this summertime without gratitude. He was always there. And so friend of the family, constant, if not sometimes awkward companion in my earliest years, gratitude skipped along with me on my first day of school in my sixth year. He said, "You'll be glad I'm with you. Your teachers will be impressed that I know you. Because they teach year in and year out. They keep at it, one class after another, wondering whatever became of the ones that they nurtured or that they gave their wisdom and knowledge to. It'll do them good to know that there is at least one of their students who knows how to show appreciation." And so I tried in my growing up years to show appreciation to my teachers. Of course, as time went on, I came to realize that gratitude was someone who could help me get more of what I wanted. I discovered that that nursery song was right. Two little magic words can open any door. And so I would bring gratitude in because he would help me get more of what I wanted. Say thank you to the nice lady for the candy. That way she'll want to give you more. Or say thank you to the nice God. That way, hopefully, he'll give us more. That's the way it works, right? And when I said that or acted on that, gratitude would just smile and pat me on the head. And he'd say, "Someday you'll know me better. You'll know better. Someday you'll want to have me around, not just for what I can do for you, but simply because of who I am." During my adolescence, I didn't see him around very much. He made himself scarce during those years when I was so concerned with my rights and so self-conscious that I could not see the good in my life. I could not appreciate my parents during those years. They embarrassed me sometimes. I couldn't appreciate the house that I lived in. It seemed to me old and run down next to the nice new ranchers that some of my friends lived in. I couldn't appreciate the clothes that I wore on my back, since most of them were hand-me-downs from my first cousin or maybe my mama bought them at a blue light special at Kmart. Gratitude is sort of a tough place for gratitude to hang around during adolescence. Evidently, gratitude is more comfortable during other periods of life. Oh, he did. He drops by occasionally. Oftentimes in unexpected times, like the time I got pulled over by a policeman. Mama had told me to go down the road. Daddy was in the field mowing hay, and she said, "It's lunchtime. Why don't you go down the road and tell him to come in for lunch?" And so I did, and as I drove down the road, I saw a policeman approaching, and I got out of my car and went back around as if I wasn't driving, and then when I got back into the car, it was very evident to him by that time that I wasn't supposed to be driving. I was too young. The reality was, I was too young. I had a learner's permit, but no adult was with me, and he asked me for my license. I said, I don't have it on me. It's at home. He said, "Where's home?" I said, "Right there." He said, "Call your daddy over here." So daddy drove his tractor over towards the fence where we were standing, and those are the longest minutes I have ever experienced in my life. But all in all, it went well. I didn't get a ticket. And the policeman lectured my daddy about the laws about underage driving. And when we got home, daddy didn't fuss at me like I thought he would. Gratitude showed up that day, all smiles. He showed up another time when I was sweating it out in chemistry class in high school, and I got an undeserved C for the year. And when I graduated from high school, he was there as I walked across the stage to get my diploma, and as I posed with my family afterwards for a photo op, it was gratitude who was with me when I packed my suitcase to go away to college, and when that time came. You know, he said, "A lot of people have put themselves into you to bring you to this point in life." And I said, I know. "Never forget that," he said. "You got where you are because other people have helped you along the way." There he was, popping in and out of my life at odd times. 4 years of college, 3 years of seminary, meeting the love of my life and getting married. Gratitude loved it all. And whenever I look back on those years, I can't do so without thinking of gratitude. I didn't cultivate or invite him or cultivate a friendship because he doesn't come naturally. You have to be taught to live with gratitude, I think. So they say to you when you're young, say thank you to the nice lady. Or they say to you in church, say thank you to the nice God. But then the day comes when nobody has to tell you to be grateful. You just are. Gratitude has gotten inside of you. Gratitude becomes you. And so on that cold February night when my wife and I drove hurriedly through the country roads of Southside, Virginia, on our way to Petersburg to the hospital, as we entered the labor room for the birth of our first child, guess who met us there? Gratitude. "What are you doing here?" I said. "I didn't expect you to be out here at this hour of the night." "Really?" he said in amazement. "Typical of you to think that all it takes to have a baby is an obstetrician. And I'm on duty down here at the delivery room full time," he said. And when I held that little bundle of joy, my little girl, in my arms for the first time, wondering how on earth I could be so lucky, I was so glad that I knew gratitude. I was so thankful. "Well, I'll be going now," he said to me in the wee hours of the night as the little baby lay in her crib in the nursery. "Don't forget me, though, when you have those 3 o'clock in the morning feedings or when you're pacing the floor on Saturday night when she's 16 years old. Just don't forget she's a gift." I know, I said, "like everything else that's important, if I forget, you'll be right there to remind me, right, gratitude?" "Yeah," he said, "sure, but just in case you ever forget and say to her, 'Look at all that we've done for you,' or 'You owe Mama and Daddy this,' I'll be there to remind you once again that she's a gift to you." Which brings me to the strangest side of gratitude. I came to expect him to show up at my college graduation and the day I got married, the time that my daughter was born, my son was born, when I became a pastor. Later on in life, when my grandchildren were born, you go through our family album at home and you'll see his smiling face back there in the background. Never one to miss a Christmas morning or a family reunion or a vacation at the beach. There he was. And Paul says to us, always and for everything, give thanks. Isn't that a bit much to ask, don't you think? I mean, I don't mind having gratitude over for Thanksgiving dinner or on the day we leave for a family vacation. That's the time and the place. But always and everywhere and in every situation. Every life knows dark days when gratitude is the last person you want to drop by. Has nothing to do with whether or not you like gratitude. It's just that there's a time and a place for everything. And as good-hearted and as congenial as gratitude may be, there are times when his presence is as out of place as a clown at a formal state dinner. He just doesn't belong there. Maybe Paul is going too far in his exhortation to invite gratitude always and everywhere, don't you think? There are times and places that he just doesn't fit in. Like the Bible says, a time to laugh and a time to weep, a time to rejoice and a time to refrain from rejoicing. Surely there are times and places when the last word that ought to be spoken is thanks. Take death, for example. Grief, yes. Anger, hurt, doubt. Yes, all of those are appropriate guests at a funeral, but not gratitude. Tell gratitude to come by later, after the funeral, after the crying is done and the wound has begun to heal. But now, not now, when death holds court. When the call came, I was sitting in a hospital room in Roanoke, Virginia, with a church member, and gratitude was there with us. Ann had just had surgery on her back, and she was anticipating going home the next day. The phone in the hospital room, we didn't have cell phones back in those days, but her telephone rang, and she answered it, and it was my church secretary. "It's for you," Ann said. And when I got on the phone, the secretary said, "Reverend Harvey, I don't know how else to say this to you, but your sister just called and your father died this morning." I couldn't believe it. I couldn't do anything but just break down in sobs and cry. I was so emotional that Ann got up out of her bed with all of her back pain and put her arms around me to hug me. And she called the nurses, and the nurses came in and put cold compresses on my head. And after I had calmed down a bit, I got in my car and I drove to the local toy store where Connie and the kids were shopping. And I told them the news. And then what seemed to be an eternity, we drove the 2 hours from Roanoke back to the farm. We went to the funeral home. We made arrangements. When we turned into the driveway and walked to the back door of the house where my mom and dad lived and opened it, there he was. Gratitude. I said, "Don't you think it's time for you to go? I don't feel much like having you around today. I'll call you after the funeral. Don't call me. I'll call you." And he looked me straight in the eye, and with a voice that mimicked my mother's, gratitude said, "Say thank you to the nice God." "Look," I said, "I don't think you're being very funny. You're really very insensitive. Gratitude, you have the worst timing. No sense of propriety or occasion. But he didn't listen to me. He was already getting the family photo albums down off of the shelf. And we sat down and we looked at picture after picture after picture of happy times, of Christmases with presents piled high, and summertime cookouts and picnics and family get-togethers, and my wedding and my sister's wedding, and my kids, his grandkids, riding around on the tractor on the farm, and the riding more, and all of those memories just came flooding in, and we began to tell stories, wonderful stories of experiences that we had had with him, and we were laughing and crying and having a warm and wonderful time. And then I understood. And I said, "Don't go, gratitude. Please stay. Daddy would want you here. I was wrong. You do belong here, especially now. Stay with us through the night and through tomorrow at the funeral. We'll need your help in picking out the music and planning the scripture and the service. It just would not be right without you." Then I knew that the Apostle Paul was right. It's not only possible, but also necessary that we should always and in everything give thanks unto God. The presence of gratitude transforms even the darkest of nights into a glorious day. For a Christian, there's nowhere that we go that gratitude doesn't belong. And so, if you don't already know him, I'd very much like to introduce him to you today. He's a worthy companion. He's worth having around. He'll do you some good. And when things are going well, and I hope they are in your life, I hope that you'll treat gratitude well. But even on those dark days when things aren't going so well, let him in. Let him be the honored guest at your Thanksgiving table this week when you're gathered around your table laden with turkey and all the trimmings, and you've gathered together your family and friends and loved ones. Make a special place this week for gratitude. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, the scripture says. Always giving thanks to God for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It was Meister Eckhart who was once able to say, "If the only prayer that you ever say in your entire life is thank you, it will be enough." Would you pray with me? Thank you, God. Gratitude is indeed an attitude that we need to have. And gratitude is a friend. And we pray that gratitude will be a constant companion with us, not just today, but this week and in all the weeks and years to come. That we'll never forget to take the time to pray the most important prayer that we can ever pray to you, to our Lord Jesus. Thank you. In his name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you today as we close the service to sing a song as a prayer. I know we do this. Maybe it's a good invitation for you around your tables at home this week at Thanksgiving to to practice gratitude, to take the time to name the things for which you're grateful, to write them down on a piece of paper or talk about them around the table, but at any rate, to be able to practice inviting gratitude into your hearts and your life. Maybe it's that you're grateful today that God has provided for you and your salvation through Jesus Christ. You've never received it. You've never received the greatest gift that you could ever receive by allowing him to come into your heart, your life, and today's the day. This is the time. You come. As we stand and sing together, count your many blessings. Would you join with me as we sing, Count Your Blessings?